that you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away.
Amen. Aren't you glad that your sins are all washed away? All washed away. Somebody say, all washed away. Now give Him one more hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Yes, I'm amazed that you love me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, shake hands with somebody around you tonight. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play a little bit more of that, guys.
Oh, my sin.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's just so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. What an opportunity you have been given tonight to get to come to the house of the Lord. It's a tremendous privilege. Didn't come because we had to. Didn't come because somebody made us. We're here because we had something here that said, let's go to church. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Now, about 30 miles from here tonight or so, they're having a huge gathering over at the Bristol racetrack. I think they're expecting about 160,000 people to be there. And they're going to have a contest tonight. And we're going to get to learn from our playbook tonight. Did you enjoy Brother Joe's message Wednesday night? Wasn't that good? Amen. Just so good. And I had seen, and this is carnal, I shouldn't even mention this, but I will, just for your benefit. Somebody had said that they had ordered cans of beer for the ball game tonight. 545,000 cans of beer is going to be at the ball game. And they'll probably be out by halftime. But I'm glad we're going to get drunk here tonight. Aren't you glad you're going to get something from the Spirit that's going to make you leave here drunk on the Holy Ghost? Brother Timothy Pruitt's here tonight, going to be speaking for us. I know you're looking forward to that, and we're just so excited to be in the house of God. Now, all those that win, I hope they have a great time. But I'm just glad I'm right here. I'm just glad I'm right here. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request real quickly. The Cobb family says that two students were involved in a fatal car accident this morning. The girl is a junior at Daniel Boone High School. She was killed in the crash. Please pray for her family. This is her 16th birthday. Her boyfriend is a senior. He's in stable condition with multiple broken bones and facing several surgeries. Please pray for everyone affected by this, as they were both well known and liked in the Daniel Boone community. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Those folks, those families, that the Lord would just be peace in their lives during this time. I want to pray for Brother Jeff Nunley, suffering from a kidney stone, even though he's here in the service tonight. Brother Jeff, God's able to deliver you right here tonight. We believe that. I want to pray for Brother Terry Stockton, has a cyst on his face. He's suffering from that. Let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Russ Berry says, I would like to request prayer for my first cousin. His name is Johnny Sturgill. He's been very sick for a long time with stomach, kidney, lung, and skin issues. He's been fighting these issues for months now and is very discouraged. Please pray that God will reach down to him tonight and touch his body and encourage him. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Brother Keith Phillips, who's been having stomach problems the last 2 days. Let's pray that the Lord would touch him. Also, Sister Brenda Harmon, running a temperature of 101. Suffering from stomach problems also. Let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Baker, who is homesick tonight and needs healing. Let's remember her. Brother Gary Harris says to please remember his wife, Sister Lona, in prayer. She's still not feeling well. Also pray for their daughter, Kelly, who is in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to pray for those needs tonight. Brother Samuel Schuffler has a prayer request he'd like for us to pray about. We'll just commit all that unto the Lord. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Homer Longoria, his family, that church family, that the Lord would just be there for him during this time. I know he will. I believe he will. Let's pray for that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Do you believe he's real tonight? Do you believe he's more real than you are? He's more real than any of us are. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Terry, come tonight. Let's pray over these needs. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Commit this service unto the Lord tonight.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Aren't you happy we get to go to church tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. You join your faith with me as we pray, and we believe that God will meet these needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, we sing that little song that I found, Pardon. And the prophet said that Pardon brings purity. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that to come into your presence, we have to be made pure and sanctified, washed by the waters of the word. And Lord, I'm thankful we have accepted that blood. We've accepted that washing of the water by the word. We can come into your presence, not just once a year with a high priest, but Lord, you bid us to come boldly before the throne of God. Anytime we desire, we can come into your presence. We thank you, Lord, for that great, great privilege. And surely it is a privilege. And Lord, we desire to be like you. We want to be, as Paul said, be you followers of me, be you imitators of me. Lord Jesus, I just had to say this. I saw a man mowing his yard the other day with a push mower, and his son was behind him with a little plastic lawnmower mowing the yard right behind him, and he wanted to be just like Daddy. Lord Jesus, that's our desire. We want to be just like Daddy. You're the Father. You're the Word. We want to be the Word. We want to be all that you have ordained for us to be, what you desire for us to be. So we come to the house of God to learn more about you, to worship you, to receive instruction. Instruction and see, receive strength, receive, Lord, whatever we have need of to give us more faith muscles and more spiritual muscles to be able to fight the enemy. And I pray for these requests, and we really want to hold up Brother Longoria in prayer, the family down there, the church family. Lord Jesus, what a great loss, but another one's been promoted. We pray, Lord, for that first request, the young girl that was killed in the car accident, and the boy and multiple injuries. Lord, for that family, just be with them, Brother Terry Stockton and Sister Lona. Each request that I hold in my hand, you know the need of each one. But I believe there's faith in the building tonight. I believe somebody's going to believe in behalf of each one of these requests, and I believe there's going to be testimony. God, you're still the healer, and I thank you for that. You're still on the scene tonight. You still move. You still love your children. Your word is still just as powerful today as it ever has been. Bless the speaker tonight, anoint him to give us, Lord, the words of life as we just ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have all of you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome to the service tonight Sister Marlena Garcia and children from Brother Ron Peterson's assembly. Where would those folks be? Would you just raise your hand wherever you're at tonight? Where are they? Raise your hand right back here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Certainly glad to have you in the service. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song tonight. We've wore it out, but let's wear it out one more time. I believe this tonight. He's in the house. Do you believe he's in the house tonight? Do you believe he's in this house tonight? Do you believe he's in your house? Somebody say he's in the house. Let's sing it tonight with all of our heart. As we enter into this service now, it's our responsibility to create a real good, real sweet atmosphere in here tonight. Are you going to work with us? We're going to work together, and the Lord's going to bless it. I believe that with all of my heart. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house.
Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be.
Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a little chorus tonight as Brother Aaron gets ready to come and sing for us. If you come onto the platform, Brother Aaron Gidder is going to sing for us tonight. Let's sing that little chorus together. I'm so glad that I've crossed over the line. Are you glad about it tonight? No turning back. Nowhere to go. Don't even want to think about it. It's full bore ahead, right? Amen. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the night. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was in correction, my sin darkens night. Satan standing between my soul and the light. But Jesus gave me a light to shine when He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Well, now I'm so glad I crossed over in the light. I'm so glad I crossed over. Separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. One more time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Give Brother Aaron a nice hand tonight as he sings. You can be seated. God bless you.
Oh, when everything has gone wrong, you've got your back to the wall. Satan's coming on strong. He really wants you to fall. He'll send trouble your way. Even sickness is a part of His plan. By yourself you won't win. So just throw up your hands. I just throw up my hands and start praising the Lord. I won't give up cause I'll stand on His infallible word. God sees your hands raised. He comes down and inhabits your praise. You've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. When I'm faced with a trial, I've got two ways I can go. I can still wear a smile or let it bring me down low. Satan whispers, "You're through." But I hear Jesus telling me to stand. What am I gonna do? Oh, I just throw up my hands. I just throw up my hands and start praising the Lord. I won't give up cause I'll stand on His infallible word. God sees your hands raised. Down and inhabits your praise. You've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. Oh, I just throw up my hands. hands and start praising the Lord. I won't give up, 'cause I'll stand on His infallible Word. God sees your hands raised. He comes down and inhabits your praise. You've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. Oh, you've got a dynamite plan. Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands.
Praise the Lord. I didn't do a bad enough song on this, or job on this song for Brother Louis Sunday morning. He wanted me to try to mess it up again, so. But as I said Sunday, it has a very good message. If we just take time to slow down to talk to Him, I believe He'll speak to us. I enjoy our talks. I love to worship. I long to forget it all and lay back in His arms. Seems everybody's busy, so busy working. We're missing all the blessings from just talking with the Lord. As we speak, I feel Him holding me. As we speak, there's overwhelming peace. My mind can't seem to fathom how much love He has for me. So He's trying to explain it as we speak. I still get lost in the darkness. I know I'm saved, but I don't feel it anymore. Guilty heart, I plead forgiveness. Then I hear the voice that comforts and restores. And as we speak, I feel Him holding me. As we speak, there's overwhelming peace. My mind can't seem to fathom how much love He has for me. So He's trying to explain it as we speak. I feel Him holding me as we speak. There's overwhelming peace. My mind can't seem to fathom how much love He has for me. So He's trying to explain it as we speak. Yes, He's trying to explain it as we speak.
Jesus talk to me. Let's ask Him to talk to us tonight.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads tonight as we would take these things before the Lord. How many would have a need? You want to make it known to Him? I believe He's here to meet each and every need.
Amen. Father God, we're so thankful we can have those times in our lives, Lord, where we can stop and just let You speak to us, Lord. Lord, how our heart longs to go back to the time that Adam no doubt had with You in the garden, Lord, as You would come down in the cool of the evening and speak to him in fellowship, Lord. And God, we're going back to that time, Lord. Lord, there'd be no doubt, no fear, no unbelief, no heartaches, no troubles, Lord, to separate us, Lord. No busyness of life, but just me and You, Father. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we can have that hope, that blessed assurance. Now tonight, God, we ask, Lord, that You would just move among Your people, Father, that You would touch the hearts and lives. God, if there be anything that we've done or said that would be displeasing to You, Lord, that You would forgive us and wash us by Your blood. Lord, as Your Spirit would just pour out upon our lives, Lord, as we would set this time aside, Lord, from the busyness of life. And Lord, just You come and speak to us. We invite You, Father God, and we're asking, Lord, You meet Your people. You see the hands that were lifted all over this building, Lord. You know the situations. You know the troubles. You know the heartaches. You know everything, Lord. And we know You have the answer, and we give it to You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, if you would, in your Bibles. Amen. It's just good to be here with you. Amen. In the house of the Lord, there's no place to I'd rather be. Amen. I was just sitting back there thinking, I can't think of a place I'd rather be than to be in His house amongst His people, the purchase of His blood. And amen. And it's an awesome opportunity to be here with you this weekend. And we just trust something can be said that'll strengthen you, to help you. That's what we're here for, to be a help. Amen. And we bring you greetings from our home church and of course, for my father, Brother Tim. He said to be sure and pass along his love and appreciation for you. And we're thankful that we're serving together in the army of the Lord. Amen. And we're fighting not a losing battle, but a battle that's already been won. And we're on the winning side. Amen. So let's look at it, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And it said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. And we'll let you be seated tonight. I'd like to speak to you, if I can, for a moment on being in tune with the supernatural. In tune with the supernatural, because I know we're living in a world that has plenty of distractions. They're not all necessarily sin, but there's things in our lives that we allow to come in our lives that distract us from what's really important. And we're too close to the end to get distracted. We're too close to the coming of the Lord to begin to think that He's delayed His coming, and we look to other things, but we're right here at the coming of the Lord. And you say, well, brother, that's been preached for a lot of years. For 40 years I've heard that, but the Lord's come for many. Just this week we heard of Him that He came for Sister Margie Longoria. And I want to tell you, the world that we live in, it seems so real. Our troubles seem real. Our temptations seem real. Or the things that we face seem very real. But there's another world that's more real than the world that we're in even now. We've been taught that, amen, in our lives, and by the prophet of God. And he would begin to open up to us a supernatural realm that without that seer, without that ability to go there, we would never have known it ever existed in that in the way that it does. And, you know, even Brother Branham himself would think, you know, he said, what would I be when I go on the other side? Will I be just a little cloud or a little spoof or a little something floating around? But he said one morning he was taken over there, and he was able to see what was really there. And he would look back at his body, lay on the bed, and he didn't want to go back to that body no more. He didn't want to go back to the frailty of it. He didn't want to go back to the fears or the doubts that entered in that body. He didn't want nothing to do with that body no more. As we heard in our scripture, eye has not seen, nor ear, neither have there entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. He's prepared something for us. And it's more than just something in the natural realm. It's more than this earth that we're living in. It's more than our job that he gives us. It's more than the money that He allows to come into our hands. But He has given us something more greater than what we have ever seen in our lives. And that should be our hope. That should be our goal. That should be everything that is within us. It is not this temporary dwelling that we're living in, but it's to get to the other side. Amen. I trust that is your desire tonight. But the mind is constantly at war. There's constantly things going on in our minds. Even while you're in service, sometimes you begin to think of other things. Many times we think of what we're going to do next week, or what happened today, or what went on last week, or the problems and situations in our lives. But if we could just kind of lay those things aside, and as we heard, let God speak to us, I believe God will have something for us. But we know the mind is the greatest battle ever fought, and Satan is constantly trying to get into your mind. He is constantly trying to bombard you. He is constantly trying to pump you with fear and doubt and worry and all these things. Is that the way it happens in Tennessee? That's the way it happens in Louisiana anyway. Amen. He's trying to constantly put those things in your life and in your mind. You're constantly worried about things. But amen, if we could ever break forth into the other realm, that's why I enjoy coming to the house of God. Because in this atmosphere, I can get relief from those things. I understand you can have in your bedroom too, but when we get around our believers and we come in one accord and we begin to put aside those things, the Spirit of God can begin to fall. And I love it when He comes down. Amen. All fear begins to leave. All doubt begins to leave. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe He's here for you tonight. You know, just this week, I was at Brother Ron Spencer's, and this past weekend we had wonderful meetings there with him and his church, and we got up Sunday, and my wife's mouth began to swell out, and we didn't know what it was. By Monday morning, it was in a real problem. We had to took her to the urgent care, and the doctor didn't even want to let her go. He wanted to send her to the hospital, but we was on our trip and things, and so he said, well, you got to take this medicine. If it gets any worse, you go straight to the emergency room. And so he talks about it shutting off her breathing and putting all this thing in my thoughts, and I begin to battle these things. This is my wife, what I do, what I don't do. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but do I take her, what I do, Lord, let me just follow you, what I do. And so that night she began to, we lay down for bed, and she began to say, you know, it's getting hard to swallow. And of course, fear began to come. I'm just being honest with you. And so we gave her medicine, and all night through the night I was praying for her and just asking God to move on the scene, because we're a family of faith. Amen. Amen. I believe God uses doctors, but I also know there's a blood.
There's a blood that's greater than any medicine. Amen. There's a blood that's paid the price for our healing. And I was just praying, asking God to move on the scene. And just in a moment, a flash before me, I seen her progressively get well. And when I seen her in her well condition, there wasn't no more fear no more. Amen. What am I here to tell you? There is another realm somewhere. And it's just above us. It ain't out in the galaxy somewhere. It's just moving a little faster. And if we can leave this old world for just a moment, God will lift us up above the shadows of your doubt and your fear and your unbelief and all those things to where you can see Him in His perfection. But God is moving. But Satan is trying to constantly keep you in doubts. Well, I hadn't seen nothing. I ain't seen God move. I haven't seen the miraculous. I don't know where is God. If God be God, where are the miracles? I say, if you be a believer, where have you been? Amen. God's moving all around us. Amen. God is changing the scenes of sicknesses. And God is changing the scenes of disease. He's a God of miracles. But the greatest miracle I've seen Him do is change the hardest of hearts and turn them around. They was going the wrong way. And God, rich in mercy, bring them back tonight. God is moving. He's doing. He's moving. He is on the scene. He is filling people with the Holy Ghost. He's healing the sick. The Spirit of power is here. Hallelujah. But you cannot know this world by the spirit of a man. You can only know that world, as we read, by the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish unto him. That's why you can see men that would sit in a church service and they would sit there and they would laugh or make fun, and next one over the other just receiving something glorious, because there's a different spirit there. But we're talking about being in tune with the supernatural. And we know, as Brother Branham would say, each age has had its pressures. Example of a great burden of the last age is a pressure of riches. Oh, if I could just have some money, I wouldn't have no pressure. He's called it the pressure of riches. Soft living, nervous tensions in a complex age that we seem so unfit to live in. He goes on, and what does thou hear? He says, I preach to more tired people than anybody in the world. People so tired, they're mentally strained until they're filling the insane institutions. Such a nervous condition that they don't know what to believe. They don't know what they want. They're just laying there and don't know what to do. He says, listen, my brother, you can't drink it off. You can't shout it off. You can't take 1,000 siestas and try to sleep it off. All our little remedies, the only thing it does is help the symptoms. But we've got to have a cure. He said, all the psychiatrists in the world can't cure it. It only helps the symptoms. The cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not take a rest at a seashore. Not get a choir to sing an anthem to you. That's what they're trying to do today. Sing it off. Oh, we'll make ourselves like somebody else. They're trying to do something different. Trying to educate it out. There's only one way to do it. Face the facts. If you're upset and frustrated, come to Jesus Christ. And there's no life as frustrated and upset as one without Him. Every one of the believers here tonight filled with the Holy Ghost can say, yes, I still have my temptations. Yes, I still have my troubles. Yes, I still have my problems, but I have Him. And He helps me through the situations. He helps me through my problems. He can do things when I don't know what to do. But He wants to keep your mind tore up. And this is a world that's, it easily gets off, you get off track. You can catch it so easy just with a news article or something, and things happen. I don't know about you, but hearing earthquakes in diverse places don't get me upset. It don't. Hearing about a car going down the road, just so somebody snapped a picture the other day. My brother-in-law's father snapped a picture of the Google car going down the road, and the man sitting in the driver's seat reading the newspaper. it don't upset me. Because I know time is getting closer. And I know where I'm going. I don't know. I can understand if you don't know where you're going tonight, get a little upset about all the problems out there in the world. Get upset about nations being against nations and wars and rumors of war. Plagues. Listen, it's the end time conditions. There's only one place to go. That's Christ Jesus. Psalms 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and strength, which is a mighty and impenetrable to temptation. A very present and well-proved help. Hallelujah. What a God to serve tonight. Somebody that's been well proved. He proved himself in the first Exodus. He took them out with a mighty hand. And he done exactly what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to take you out of a land. I'm going to take you into a land. He did it. They disbelieved it. They murmured. They complained. But God still had a people enter into that land. Hallelujah. Amen. God does things like that. He calls you out of sin or calls you out of some denominational system. And he said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He don't tell you about all the bumps in the road. He don't tell you about all the problems. He don't talk to you about your wife getting sick. He don't talk to you about financial struggles. He don't talk to you about none of that. He just said, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you in. He's not worried about what's in between. He's already got the answer for it. Hallelujah. He wasn't worried one moment about the Red Sea. He already had the answer. He wasn't worried about there not being water. He already had a rock. He wasn't worried about there not being no food. He already made preparations. And he's not worried about Laodicea and its condition. He's already has the answer. Hallelujah. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it's changing lives. Amen. Amen. Psalms 46:2 says, therefore will not we fear. We will not fear. Though the earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. And he says this word, Selah. Amplified says it like this. Though the waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble at a swelling and tumult. I don't know if anybody had been through an earthquake. I was in one when I went to Japan. That's not a peaceful situation. It's not no rock you by baby and go to sleep. No, let's wake up and get out. By 3 a.m. in the morning there in Japan, me and Brother Jonathan Martin's laying in a bed sound asleep and it began to do this. Listen, I'm from the South. I ain't never experienced nothing like that and don't care to ever again. Amen. But here they were. Here he says, though the waters roar and the mountains tremble and swelling and tumult, Selah, which means to pause. And calmly think about that. Why? How can it in the middle of waters roaring and turmoil all around me, can I pause and calmly think about that? He says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In other words, get your mind off of that and think about what's real important. Amen. All the chaos around you, don't even look at pause and calmly think about it. Amen. The rivers whose streams shall make the glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Oh, pause and calmly think about that. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Hallelujah. All hell is around us. All hell is assailing us. And every kind of demonic force has been loosed on this earth. And every kind of thing is being pressured upon you. And fear and doubt and all. Pause and calmly think about that. Amen. All kind of sickness has never been heard before. Names you can't even pronounce them. And there's so many demons that's been ripped. Pause and calmly think about that. How can I pause in the middle of this turmoil? Because God is in the midst of her. And she shall not be moved. God will help her right early. And the nations raised, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress and high tower. Pause and calmly think about that. Hallelujah. You know, I seen this this t-shirt one time. I should have bought it. Seen this t-shirt of just the most dorkiest looking lamb you ever seen in your life. Just dorky looking. And he's walking down. He's holding the hands of Jesus. And he's walking down. And there's this old lion over there in the bushes. And he's roaring. You can see he's just ready to sink his. He's wanting to sink his claws into him. And this little lamb just looking at him like nothing. No fear on his face. And he's not like, you know, like that or nothing. He's just holding his hand. And the caption says, "I'm with him." Do you know if God be for you, who can be against you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm with him. I'm with him. Listen, you ought to quit all your worrying and your dreading and your fretting and all that stuff. I am with him. He is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Come behold the works of the Lord, verse 8, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow in pieces and snap the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. But he still, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted. It's amplified again. It says, let be and be still. And know, recognize, understand, be in tune that I am God. So all you know what your fear and your anxiety does? It really shows that you don't have perfect confidence in the one who's able to take control. That's what you got to do. You got to bring every thought subject to the Word of God. Well, it's cancer, Brother Timothy. Bring that thought subject to the Word of God. You know, I just love how God does things. He makes things so simple for us believers. He said, I'm the Lord God that heals all thy diseases. Well, you say, well, what about this one? It fits in all. What about this one about this long? It fits in three letters, all. No matter what you're going through, what kind of condition you have, you say, well, the doctor says it's incurable. There's no such a thing as an incurable disease when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ. He's more than able. He's more than able. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Hallelujah. We ought to be rejoicing that tonight. That he is on our side. Who can be against us? The Lord of hosts, verse 11, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause and calmly think about that. Hallelujah. But he says here, he says, you're Abraham's seed. Who wants to be Abraham's seed? We believe we are spiritually. When you are dead in Christ. All frictions. Static is tuned out. Your motives is one. Your heart's one. And you're one with Christ. What he said is first. And the rest is nonsense. Okay, I'll go ahead and quote that again. That's a quote from the prophet. That wasn't mine. That was his. You're Abraham's seed when you're dead in Christ. All frictions, all static is tuned out. Yeah, right. So just tune out the ball game tonight. We ain't worried about who won or who's going to lose. I could care less. I already know who won. He won. He paid the price for my salvation. He paid the price for my healing. All static is tuned out. So won't you tune out that depression right now? Those thoughts that says you're not going to make it. Those thoughts that says you're lost and there ain't no hope for you. Tune them out. Those thoughts that says you ain't bright, tune them out. Those thoughts that says you're lost and you've crossed the line, tune it out. Because you haven't crossed the line or you wouldn't be here tonight. Tune it out. Your heart's won. Your motive is won. And you're one with Christ. And what He said is first. And the rest is nonsense. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, CNN, Google, all that stuff is nonsense. You know, we got people that don't believe in going to doctors. They think it's a sin to go to a doctor, but they'll self-diagnose themselves like nobody's business on Google. I got this pain over here, and I got this over here. Let me see what that is. And they go to self-diagnosing themselves, and they put these herbs down them. I'm more spiritual. No, you're not. You're still taking stuff. Where do you think medicine come from? Come from the earth. Same place herbs come from. But we're more spiritual because we don't go to doctors and we don't go to... Oh, I better get somewhere. Hallelujah. You take His word for it. He said, what He said is first, I love this, the rest is nonsense. Well, I just might as well keep repeating this until we get it tonight. What He says is first. He's the Lord God that heals all our diseases. The promise is unto me and my children. What He said is first. The rest is nonsense. Your favorite website with all the wonderful news of what's going on, Facebook, of all the gospel, is nonsense. Satan designs these things to get our minds off of what's really important. I'll just tell you what happened. Oh, but I'm not stealing Brother Donnie's thunder, but tell you what, it just done something for me when I heard it. Sister Margie Longoria was in the hospital there dying. She looks over at Brother Homer and she said, Homer, I said, Brother Donnie's fixing to come visit me. I said, when he goes, I'll go home to be with Jesus. They didn't even know Brother Donnie was coming. Wow. A few little bits later, he calls and says he's coming down to see him. Come in, prayed for him, prayed for her, the family, went out into the waiting room. Said her two unbelieving daughters was in there in the room with her and said that, well, they come out just white as a sheet. Said, Mama's in there talking to somebody. Says, Brother Daniel Williams. Amen. Brother Homer goes in there and Sister Margie just laughing because, you know, she had a real fear of dying. She didn't want to die. She had a fear. It's a fear. Listen, if it wasn't for that fear, every one of us would want to go. It's the truth. If it wasn't for that deep, dark valley of death, every one of us would want to go to the other side. But God allows it to lay there so He can have His will in our lives until our appointed time. She had a real fear of it, and she didn't want to go. And she didn't, Brother Homer talking to her, but here she is sitting up laughing. And she looks up at Brother Homer and said, Brother Homer, you remember Brother Daniel Williams? And he said, sure, honey, I remember. He said, he's still a jokester. That other side is real. But Satan is trying to do everything he can do to keep you from tapping into it. Brother Branham was in Canada having a meet, and he was walking down the street. There was a man selling some televisions, and the man said, I'd like to sell you a set, fella. He said, I'm just a tourist. He said, oh, I see you're just passing through. He said, no, I'm here having some services. He said, well, you wouldn't happen to be with that Branham outfit, would you? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, what do you think about that fella? He said, well, I think the services are fine. He said, was you there last night? Well, yes, I was. He said, what do you think about that man? And Brother Brown said, what do you think about that man getting off the cot and that soldier that called his name and told him who he was and how he'd been afflicted for years? He said, oh, I don't think there's nothing about that because I've got to see it proved. See, hypnotism don't do nothing for me. He said, you know, my old southern mammy has an expression, you give a cow enough rope, it'll hang itself. And he said, anything that cannot be scientifically proven, I think there's nothing to it. He said, but I said, well, I don't mean to be different, but I have to be now. The things that can be scientifically proven is not real. It's only the things that are not scientifically proven that is real. He said, oh, that's ridiculous. He said, all right, I want to ask you something. Can you tell me what love is? He said, could you scientifically show me what love is? Go down to the drugstore and buy me a dime's worth of love. Well, we need about a dollar worth of it nowadays, don't we? Buy me a quarter's worth. Show me what life is, what love is, what personality is, what the Holy Ghost is, what God is. It's the unseen things that are real. He said, how can that be? Because that's the only thing that's lasting. Amen. All these things that you're so worried about and you get so worked up about and you're so tore up about is nothing but temporary things. Money is nothing but a temporary thing. Your house is nothing but a temporary dwelling. This church is a temporary building. But what's really real is what's eternal. Because these things will pass away. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. It's eternal. That's what's real. He said we put so much emphasis, listen to this. He said those things are temporal and perishable. We put so much emphasis and so much concern about natural things and so little about spiritual things. Well, I'll just use it for example since it's right here before us like something sitting staring at us like that ball game. People are prepared and prepared and prepared and put everything they practice and they practice and they practice and they work and all the planners are planning and planning and planning and preparing and preparing and be over in just a few hours. Some will be mad, some will be glad. Some will be tore up, drunk. Some will be halfway drunk. Some may walk out sober. I don't know. Some will die tonight because of it. Amen. But they've been putting so much into it. What would happen to us if we'd put that same kind of... I don't want to be just so unspiritual here, but put that same kind of preparedness in our heart for the things of God. To where it consumes our mind, it consumes our heart, it consumes our thinking. You know, we just want to show up to church and we want to say, preacher, bless me. Amen, Brother Louis, bless me. Sing some good songs, get me happy. We ought to be prepared before we walk through the doors. And say, God, I'm coming for a fresh drink of water. I'm coming to hear from you, God. I want more of you. I've got to have more of you. And we're not talking about something that's temporary. And the woman at the well, if you read that story and you look into it, she was so concerned about temporary things. And she wasn't looking at what was supernatural sitting right there on her well. She comes and she looks at Jesus and Jesus says, get me a drink. And she says, come give me a drink. And she says, you have nothing to draw with. I have my water pot. Look what I got, Jesus. Ain't that the way we are a lot of times? Look what I got. God, I got too much to give up. And temporary stuff. I got too much to give up, God. I just don't want to make that next step. I got too much to give up. And there's nothing but a clay water pot that you couldn't find today if you tried. And he said, if you knew the man that you're speaking to, you would ask him of a drink. And he begins to speak to her, and you can read the story as she progresses. She begins to say, oh, you're a prophet. First she says, you're a Jew. She recognizes his dress. She recognizes who he was. You're a Jew. Still temporary stuff. You don't go to the same church we go to. Just a Jew. And then he's, wait a minute. You must be a prophet. And the next thing, he begins to tell her what's on the inside of her, who he is, and he unveils himself. And she says, you're not just a Jew, you're not just a prophet, you're the Messiah. And she goes running through the city saying, look, come see a man who told me all things. And the scripture says she left her water pot. All of a sudden, it wasn't important no more. I pray we can fall in love with him so much that this world is not important no more. The things of life is not important no more. The situation that you're in is not important. Only what good's done for Christ will last. You can blame him and ask me to speak this about 4:30 today. He said, go down to the drugstore and get me some. He said, but you put so much emphasis and so much concern about natural things and so little about the spiritual things. That's the way we do. We're so worried about even our outward appearance and got to look just right and fit the part. Yet our insides are so hollow and cankered. If we could get a spiritual microscope, we'd see all kind of bugs maybe on the insides. It's the truth. But yet on the other side, God bless you, brother. How you doing? Amen. So glad to be. But on the inside, cankered up. He said, for instance, coming through this room right now is television pictures. I said, you have to show me the picture. He said, of course. He said, of course, it hits the crystal, goes down to the tube, so forth, shows the picture. I said, that man's in the United States. He said, you're picking him up coming through the air. That you can't see. And he said, well, we can prove it because here's a picture showing it's over there. There's a sending station to prove it's there. And here's a receiving station. And I said, yes, and we can prove it too. For in glory, we got a risen Savior who sends it forth. And the Holy Ghost reveals it and makes it positive. Therefore, we have a sending station and a receiving station. That's correct. God in heaven, who knows all things, can so put a gift in his church and he can magnify it and make it reflect himself through it and say things that are absolutely impossible to prove by science. We don't walk by things we see. We walk by things we don't see. Listen, if you walk by what you've seen tonight, you wouldn't even be here tonight. But there was an unseen force that would say, I got to get to church. I got to be in the house of God. I got to hear from the throne of God. There was something already beginning to tune you in.
That's true.
But you can see people get out of tune with what God's doing in the church. They can't see the shout of the king in the camp. They can't see the spiritual movement. All they can see is faults. They can see failures. Oh boy, they can see them. But you got your station tuned a little wrong there. A lot wrong. That's what Balaam did. He came on the backside of Israel. He saw their faults. He saw their failures. He saw their mistakes. He saw all of those things, but he failed to see, the prophet of God said, the shout of the king in the camp. That God was he failed to see the rock that followed them. He failed to see the manna. He failed to see the supernatural that was among them. All he seen was false. Because he was out of tune. He was so out of tune with the supernatural that an angel would come down visibly and a donkey would see it and him not. Whoa, that's pretty bad when a donkey can see things you can't see. That's pretty bad when he can actually talk to you and say, hey, don't you see that? But you know, he had his mind on his money he was going to get. He had his mind on his fame and his fortune. That's all he could think about. And he failed to see the supernatural pillar of fire that would come down in the form of an angel with a sword drawn. God have mercy. Why? Because he was out of tune. Hallelujah, anyhow. Before Noah saw one drop fall, he already seen the rain coming. Before he physically, with these eyeballs, seen the first go plop, he already seen it coming. How? Because God had visited him. And he was in tune enough to hear the word of God and in tune enough to believe what God said. In the face of scientific proof that says it ain't. Noah, let me talk to you just a moment, Noah. When is the last time it rained? Never. Why? You mean, why are you building an ark? Because God told me to. Noah, you must have ate too many beans the night before. Something happened to have so. I mean, okay, build a boat, but this big a boat? What are you thinking, Noah? Have you lost your mind? Yeah, I have. It ain't my mind, it's his mind. God has come down in my life and he has put his mind into me that I can know what to do in this hour to escape here. Hallelujah. Amen. You sisters, have you lost your mind? Your hair, don't you know it's hot? The dress, you brothers, living the life you lived, have you lost? Yes, I've lost my mind. But the mind of Christ has come down in this generation. And there's a people that has become in tune with his word. To where they can see him as he is. You know, I don't know about you, but if I lived in that day, if I hadn't already started putting some nails, I believe I would have. But just in case some kind of stubbornness inside of me wouldn't have started helping him nail some boards up. If I'd have seen them animals walking two by two, I'm in. It don't take much to reveal something to a southern boy. He knows it's time to get in the ark. God is doing something. But these people were so in tune to other. Noah, we can shoot the stars. We can shoot into other atmospheres. And there's nothing that you're talking about. It didn't matter. God said so. I mean, there's no scientific proof that anybody has ever taken a body change. Well, Enoch did. Well, you can't prove it scientifically. Elijah went up and said, show me scientifically. People are so in tune to what science says or Google says or this says or something new. I don't care what that said. Because I have a receiving station. And there's a sending station that is sending out a signal. It's just about going home time. It's almost the time the dead in Christ is going to rise. And we're going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. He heard that word. There was something beating in his bosom like a pulsation. Like a pulsation. Brother Brandon would work on it. He said, if the people in these wheelchairs and these cots and you that's sick to die, if you could hear the word of God tonight, do we have people about to die tonight or sick in a cot here or wheelchairs? Well, I'm pretty sure that would cover us all then. You said, Brother Timothy, I'm sick tonight. Well, I'm pretty sure this covers you tonight. If you could just hear the word of God, don't try to figure it out. Don't think how long you've been sitting, talking with that one in the wheelchair on the cot, or how long you've been sick. Think about what God said. Changing the station. Because the devil's there to put your thoughts in your mind. You know, Brother Branham said he put a thought in his mind and said he'd give his heart to the Lord a long time ago. But he said there was a spirit, a sending station, that kept putting out the signal, wait a little longer. Wait a little longer. And he waited. He said he gave his heart to God a whole lot earlier, but he was wait a little longer. Maybe you've been hearing that word. Wait a little longer. Tonight's not your night. You got too much to lose. I got too much to gain. So there comes a pulsation of the Holy Spirit into your heart saying, it's the truth. Devil says, how do you know it's the truth? You say, I know it's the truth. It's God's word. Thereby, it's the truth. Do you know that by His stripes you're healed, as thus saith the Lord? Hallelujah. It's the truth. Something begins to pulsate in your bosom. That is the truth. That then make ready. You're coming out of there. Make preparations. You're coming out of there. I've been in depression. Make preparations. You're coming out. Just as certain as I'm standing here in this pulpit, don't look at what you see, how bad you're crippled, how sick you are, what the doctor says. Don't look at that. Look to the unseen. Amen. What God said. Amen. Hallelujah. Before you feel any different. Oh, there we go now. Before you feel the fever break, before you feel something move, you begin to look at what God said and you begin to believe it with all your heart. Oh, we love the way, oh, I feel a little better. Praise God, He healed me. No, He said you begin to testify before you feel anything. Because you know, Brother Brandon would teach us. He would teach us that God can do nothing until you confess that He's already done it. Amen. Before the pain leaves, before the hand moves, before the eye can see one sight, you make ready. It's going to happen. As long as that pulsation begins to rise in your bosom, in your heart where God sits on that control tower, He said, oh, I get religious about this time. I said, I think that the Holy Spirit can lead man and tell him things and make him act different and make him believe things and receive things that the world never could believe could happen. I'm a witness. I was a blind man once myself, practically had to be led, but I now know what I'm talking about. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, can't you feel that pulsation of the Spirit begin to rise in your heart? Saying Jesus Christ is in our midst. Amen. Jesus Christ is in our midst. Wherever two or three are gathering in my name, I will be in their midst. Amen. Pulsation. Something begins moving like a heartbeat. It's pumping energy into your spirit. It's pumping energy into your mind. Then let the things in your eyes that you see black out. So right now, quit looking at faults. Quit looking at failures. Quit looking at your own past and your own mistakes. Forgive yourself. Let it go. Let it black out and you'll see not the things of the world. You'll be believing what God said. But He says when the church is in tune. Listen to Him here. When the church is in tune. That's what we're talking about. In tune with the supernatural. We get in tune with all kinds of things. But in tune with the supernatural. He says, what if people here tonight that's sick would begin to think God is God? Yes, sir. Boy, that's a big formula, ain't it? Big scientific thing that we're working out and trying to figure out how we're going to get down to our healing. He said, you begin to think God is God. If He isn't, why serve Him? But if He's still God, He's still a healer. If He's God Almighty, He can do all things. If He made a promise, He can't break it. He's got to keep it. Then that pulsation began to rise. Something's going to take place. There could be nothing to stop it. Like a fire on a windy day. It just keeps blowing. The Holy Spirit begins to fan that fire. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until explosion takes place. Amen. But you know, many times we're so caught up that we don't even realize what we have, even in our hands, or what God has given us in this word. Listen, there's such a power of deliverance in this word that can set everybody free tonight. There's such a power of healing in this word, it can heal every sick person tonight. I know that. I've witnessed it. I've seen God move. He's still moving. Tomorrow, maybe, God willing, we'll get into some testimonies of some things that God is doing around the world. Sometimes we get in a little box and we think God's out of a little box, and He's unlimited in His power. He's unlimited in His mercy. His mercy goes beyond our mercy, thank the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of people I gave up on, God didn't give up on, thank the Lord. One time, tell you this little story, make a point. Me and my dad had some registered Angus cattle now. We bought these cows and we bought them off a lady that's our tax lady, and she'd city lady, and she didn't really know how to take care of them, so she had them for a few years and couldn't sell the babies because she got attached. You know how city folks are. Probably looking at some city folks, but anyway, you know how city folks are. Oh, my poor babies, and they're cows. It's what we eat. Amen. So anyway, we bought everything from her, and so the agreement was going to take the cows, but we didn't want the bull she had. So she said, "Well, you're buying my trailer, you're buying everything." I said, "Why don't you come back and get the bull?" And I said, "Okay, I'll take it to the market for you." She said, "Thank you." So me and my little boy Luke showed up. He wasn't the size he is today. It's been several years ago, and we went up there and backed the trailer in. She had this bull somehow pinned up in the barn, and he wasn't happy. Now, we had had some livestock and had a few cows, but I had never had a bull, and I didn't like what I saw. Well, she handed me this little pack thing with a little deal that went out like this with two prongs on the end of it and said, "Here, use this." And I'm like, "Well, I know what this is, but I ain't never used one before." And she said, "Well, it'll do something." I said, "Well, I don't know about doing nothing that mad bull." And so we backed the trailer up, opened the gate, and we put feed in the trailer. We tried to get it. We tried to talk nicely through it. We tried to do everything we could, work up all of our Christian ability to get him in the trailer. It wasn't working. He was mad. He was getting more and more angry. He was getting more and more upset. He was in this little pinned up place. And so she went around. I thought she was going to have some help. She didn't have no help there. So she went around. I said, "Call some help. I ain't doing this by myself. I'm getting mauled, you know." And so she went around the outside of the building to call some neighbors or something. So I got up on the side of the railing there looking at that bull, and I'm just talking to him. You know, like, "Get in the trailer. I mean, come on. This is going to just be so easy. Just get you right. We're just going to shut the door. We're not going to hurt you. I'm just trying to talk about that time." He just paws real good at me and he slings himself like that. And I'm not going to kid you, a big old water snot hit me right there. Now, I know this service about this time went in a direction you wasn't expecting, but here we are. It hit me right there, and when I went like this, by the time my hand got down to here, I was a different person. I got angry. You know why? Because it wasn't my snot. And I reared back with my fist, and I went pow, right there on his nose. He reared back and he took off running toward the gate. I jumped down in the pen with him. And I'm running at him. I got this deal still in my mouth. I'm running with him. I'm screaming at him. "I'll eat you. I'll put you in white packages. Put you in the freezer. You're mine now, boy." And I'm running. I'm screaming. I'm hollering. My boy's looking at me. By the time he gets there, I'm thinking he's going to just jump in the trailer. I'm going to shut the gate and all's well. But no, he stops. And I'm running. You know, I see stuff in slow motion. I'm like, "Oh, boy." Well, I remember that deal. And I went, in the trailer he went. I walked up to the gate and I slammed the gate and I said, "That's right." Lady come running around the building. She said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know what happened. All I know is the bull's in the trailer. We'll see you later." But what was it? I didn't realize the power that laid in my hands. And it took me having a Shamgar moment when I had enough of his threats. I had enough of his baloney. I had enough of his stuff. And I had enough of him putting his stuff on me. When are you going to get tired of the devil putting his sins on you? It's time we get angry about it. I'm not toting one more sin for you. I'm not toting one more doubt for you. I'm not toting one more unbelief for you. I'm not toting depression for you. I'm not toting sickness for you. I am healed by God's grace. and you use the Old and New Testament and you apply it to that old boy, it'll put him back where he belongs. Every time. But we just want to lay back and say, well, what will be, what will be. And we let the devil push us and we let the devil prod us. Listen, the devil don't belong in front of you leading you. He don't belong behind you pushing you. He don't belong beside you whispering your ear. He belongs under your feet. Amen. That's where he belongs. That is Satan's place. Time you start letting a pulsation work. I don't have to put up with this one more time. Shamgar would sit there until 600 Philistines came. Year after year, service after service, he'd come take what they had gotten. Steal it from them. His wife was over there decrepit and laid down. Couldn't hardly move no more. His children's cheeks all drawed up. Daddies, when are you going to quit letting Philistines come in your house? We allow all kinds of things in our homes. We allow them to come there. They can't come unless we allow them. But one day Shamgar had a moment. He said, I've had enough. I'm done with this thing. It didn't matter if it was 600 Philistines. You know, Shamgar got to the point he was willing to die. That's what David did. David got to the point he was willing to die when he came to Goliath. That's what it was going to be, but he sure wasn't going to listen to his stuff. He wasn't going to put up with him that morning. One morning was enough for David. Amen. You don't have to be like Shamgar and live for it with year for years. One time can be enough. Amen. Brother Branham said that morning the Goliath, read the scripture, said for 40 mornings, 40 days, he came out and made a challenge. All it took was one morning when David was at camp. Goliath said, he come out that morning, well, we're just going to do like we've been doing. There's a bunch of chickens, ain't going to do nothing. Ain't going to do nothing. I've come for now, this is 40 mornings. But it happened, as the prophet of God said, to be a different set of ears in the camp. And them ears was walking around and it was listening for anything that wasn't the word of God. And it was listening for any doubts or any fears, because he coming expecting victory, because that's what happens to the children of God. He was expecting victory in the camp. But he seen a bunch of backslidden people that wasn't taking the promise. He's like, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, I defy the armies of the living God. Come out, send me a man. I defy Israel. I defy you. Send me a man. That little receiving station went up. Who is that? Well, that's Goliath. We've been trying to find quotes for him. We've been trying to find something that'll help us. We ain't found it yet. David said, what do you need? Just grab some stones. Give me my sling. I'll take what I got. We're not listening to that no more. Well, Goliath said, won't you boys bring me my breakfast? There ain't nobody coming. All of a sudden, he seen this little bitty thing walking down that valley. What in the world is this? This is a little different this morning. Hey, send somebody out and see who that is. It's David, Goliath. He said, he come to fight you. He's just a little shepherd boy. Why in the world would they send just a shepherd boy? Don't they know I'm a trained soldier? I mean, this is ridiculous. Well, I'll be done with this in just a minute. I'll be back to my breakfast. There was a pulsation taking place. David reaching down in that brook and getting him a stone. J-E-S-U-S. David, you know what he's really doing? He grabbed one stone for Goliath and about four more in case he had any brothers. Amen. He done had enough. One day was enough with Goliath. That's all he needed. You don't have to live with those things. You don't have to live with that fear. You don't have to live with that anxiety. You don't have to live with depression. He said in the Word, He said, I will bring you not a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Pulsation. All right, let's try to get this done tonight. So the reason people don't see the things that they should see, the mysteries of God being unfolded, because they're not looking for it. Oh, that's the prophet of God again. That ain't just me. The reason the people don't see things that they should, the mysteries of God being unfolded, because they're not looking for it. In our scripture reading, Paul said, he said, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they'd have known who He was. But here they're in their church crying out, oh, shalom, shalom, the Jewish songs, all these things. And here He comes walking right down into their midst. The Creator of heaven. Come walking right down in the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. He was so easily to be able to see a blind man could see. Did you know that? There's a blind man that was born blind one day. We're bringing us down. Didn't have no eyeballs. Disciple says, was he born blind because his parents did some sin, or because he sinned? Jesus said, no, neither. Amen. But that the works of Christ shall be made manifest in him. And the scripture says he reached down, he took some dirt, grabbed some dirt there in his hand, and began to mold it. Put some spit in it. He knew how much moisture it took to make an eyeball, because he'd have made a bunch of them. He knew exactly what color eyes this man was supposed to have. He put it in his eyeball, reached out and grabbed some more, put it in his eyeball, his eye socket. Said, go wash. He came back seeing. Scripture says that Jesus departed. The man never seen him with these two eyeballs. He never seen him with these two eyes here. Before he went to the Pharisees, Pharisees began to question him and question his parents and try to make a big scene. Like, who do you think you are? He began to teach them, the scripture said. They're like, who you are? You're a blind man. And you say, you know, you used to be a beggar, and you're teaching us. I mean, we're preachers. That's right. But the difference was, this man had an experience. And they said, well, you know, if you tell us who he is. And he said, well, here's an amazing thing to me. He said, this is just amazing. Never before, since the world's been formed, has a blind man been given his sight, his eyeballs, but yet you don't know who he is? I didn't even have to see him with these eyes, and I know who he is. Amen. We ain't seen the Lamb, but we know it's real. We may not have laid eyes upon Him, but we know He is among us. Why? Because we have experienced Him time after time after time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. People want to say, I want to see God, and they're looking with the wrong eyes. With these eyes, you see faults. With these eyes, you see failures. With these eyes, you see mistakes. With these eyes, you see trouble. But if you can ever get that pulsation to begin to move, something else will begin to speak. I said, God, let us have eyes to see tonight. Let's go on down just for a moment. He goes on to say about the Israelites, how they got to be starting to be questions of Moses' ministry. Begin to question things. And it's amazing to me that they could ever question a man like this. They saw with these eyeballs, okay, with these eyeballs, they saw plagues. They saw a wall of water be opened up, and they saw dry ground. They saw tables of stone be hewed out of the mountain, and the law of God be wrote on them. They saw the staff hit the rock and water, not just a little trickle, but to water thousands and millions of people and their livestock. They saw the manna rain down every morning. Didn't have to worry about where to eat. They saw all these wonderful things, and yet they still begin to question. They was out of tune. Said they begin to question. One by the name of Dathan, by the name of Korah, begin to say, well, this is just a one-man affair. Moses thinks he's the only one God's called. Begin to question. And then God said, well, I'll do something new. This is what the scripture said. I'll do something new. I'll open up the earth and I'll swallow them all. And they saw Dathan and Korah and all of their people. And the earth covered back up. They saw it with these two eyeballs. And they still get to the River Jordan right at the crossing into their promised land. And they said, we can't do it. They came back and they said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time believing. One of them went up to somebody, one of them whatever men over there, giants, if they, if you will. Hey, psst, what I look like. Oh, I thought so, grasshopper. It was in their minds. They, all they saw when they went to the promised land, they, you know, those 10 spies, they looked around. They were so out of tune. So all they seen was problems. He brought us here to die. Look at that wall. Do you see how thick that wall is? My, do you see? That wasn't what Caleb saw. Caleb walking around saying, where am I going to build my house? That mountain looks pretty good right there. I'd have a good view from there. I would look nice. I want that mountain. Well, Caleb, there's giants on that mountain. It don't matter who's on that mountain. That mountain's mine. That mountain's mine. Why do you say that, Caleb? Because God said so. And God is God. It's my mountain. They come back and said, we're grasshoppers. You ever studied metamorphosis? A grasshopper is a butterfly. You know, the butterfly goes, you'd hear Brother Jewell, he tells a wonderful story about a butterfly. I'm not going to try to replicate his story. But a butterfly goes through the stages of metamorphosis. And it goes through all the stages, and it goes from this old ugly bug to a beautiful butterfly. A grasshopper only goes through two stages. Justification, sanctification. And they don't want to go all the way. They begin to get out of tune. They begin to get out of step. They begin to look at things that look so much more difficult than what they really are. Because listen, God wasn't looking at the walls of Jericho from your vantage point. We look at walls like this. Whew, boy, that's a high wall. God looking at them like this. He wasn't worried about the walls of Jericho. Matter of fact, when Joshua got there 40 years later and he walks across Jordan, he's trying to study and he's maybe stressing out, wondering what he's going to do. I got to have so much men. I got to do this. All of a sudden he looks and there's somebody there with a sword drawn. Joshua pulls his sword and said, are you for us or for you against us? He said, neither. Ain't that a funny statement? What was he saying to Joshua? You're not on my, you're not, I'm not on your side. You're on my side. I got this in control. You just tune in to the battle plan. I've got it. And God's here tonight telling you, whatever your situation, whatever your struggle, maybe it's a little different for you tonight. I don't know. It's different for me. But I've got it. You're looking at your trouble like this. God's looking from a different place. Why don't you tune in to the supernatural? so you can see your enemy as he sees him. If you can see your sickness as he sees him. If you can see that devil of torment as he sees him. But see, that's the way, Brother Branham said, that's the way the message is. You can sympathize with it and say it's right, but you got to take it to yourself and become a part of it. Till you're no more going to be just a grasshopper, but you're going to come into a beautiful butterfly. Then you and the message become one. Then the anointings with you as it was with the others. Oh, I want to be like Joshua. Let the message become you. And you become the message. And you become one. Then the anointing is with you as it was with the others. Selah. Pause. And calmly think about that. I ask you tonight on this Saturday night, can you pause for a moment? And just think about God for a moment. Think about what He's done for you. Think about all the times He's brought you through. Think about where you are today because of His grace. Think about all the things He's done for you that without Him, you would be lost. Without Him, you would be like a ship on the ocean with no anchor, no pilot to guide it, lost. Just think about Him for a moment as we bow our heads. Tune in. Say, God, I wonder if there'd be some young people that would say, Lord, I've been in tune with too much of this Laodicea age, Sodom and Gomorrah. I'd like to just tune in to You, Lord, and let You move in my life. Amen. Would you lift your hands and say, that's me, Lord. Wonder how many all over this building tonight say, Brother Timothy, I've been in tune with the wrong things. Didn't mean to. Give my heart to the Lord a long time ago and never have taken it back. But Satan has come and he's got my mind so stirred up about things. He knew the fuss you had on the way to church. He knew the things that went on in your car and your home right before church. God knows about it. And He just wants you to say, look, He wants you to see, I've got this. He's more than able. Wonder how many tonight would say, Lord, just let me tune in to the supernatural. I just want to see You moving, Lord. Not with these two eyeballs, but Lord, just that pulsation of faith. God, that You would make Yourself real to me more. And more and more. Some of us get on times of our lives where we're so tore up, fear, doubts. Tonight He's the dissolver of doubts. He's here to take that thing away from you. So, Brother Timothy, I've been under a spirit of fear. He's here to relieve you of that tonight. He's here to set you free. Will you just tune in to what He's doing for you? I wonder if there'd be any. He said, Lord, I've come to that moment in my life. I know I need to take another step. I need to move on with You, Lord. It's now or never. I need to have my Shamgar moment. Do you lift your hands to Him, just real honest before God? Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Father God, just today as we was searching and looking, and Lord, You even seen how my mind was 20 different directions, seemed like, but Lord, You came in the room and began to speak to me. Lord, I've only spoken what You've said. And God, I ask, Father, that it'll just fall upon good ground tonight. Lord, ground that this word can be born in, Lord. And Lord, forgive us if our minds have been on other things, Lord, and tormented and up and down and about everything else of the world, and whether it be financial problems or physical problems, situations that we can't even do nothing about if we tried. Lord, forgive us. Lord, tonight may we just turn our eyes on You, Lord. Turn our eyes on You. Father, You've seen the hands that were lifted all over this building. Just tonight, just feel a real solemn moment, Lord. And Father, as You're unveiling Yourself more and more, and more just pouring Yourself out, God, help us to catch what You're doing. Lord, help us to really see with eyes of faith, Lord, to know that just any moment, at any time, we'll see our loved ones that's gone on before. And Lord, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll go to be with You. That's what our heart longs for, God. That's our true longing, Father, is to be with You. Lord, we can lay this old armor down and these old sword down, and the fight will be over and peace forevermore. God, in this world we live in, there's trouble on every hand. Lord, help our eyes to get off the things of Laodicea in this world. Turn our eyes on You. Grant in Jesus' name. Amen. You sing.
Turn Your eyes.
You want Him to just talk to you for a moment?
Jesus.
Say, God, will You come to where I'm at, Lord?
Look full.
Just let me tune in right now
in His
word.
Wonderful grace and the things of this world,
oh, they'll grow dim,
will grow strangely,
yes,
got it all in control.
control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. So I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He holds the stars in the sky. He holds the land back from the sea. If He can do all of that, surely He can take care of you and me. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. When I think about the Lord, how He raised me, saved me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, filled me, to the uttermost when I think about the Lord. How He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost. How He healed me to the uttermost when I think about the Lord. How He picked me up, turned me around, how He placed my feet Hallelujah. On solid ground makes me want to shout.
Hallelujah!
Thank You, Jesus, for You're worthy of.
Aren't you glad you got in tune with the supernatural tonight? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Brother Timothy, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. See you bright light shine. Just about going home time, isn't it? Amen. Let's sing this just before we leave tonight. Now, you know what? The best part about this whole deal is we get to come back and do this again in the morning. Aren't you looking forward to it? Aren't you excited about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Sing a little bit of that. Let's sing just before we leave tonight.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door. I can't see a crystal river. Standing at the door. This world's
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're just now getting ready to get started. Amen. Oh, isn't it good to feel the Spirit of the Lord? Just this presence, this atmosphere. It just wants to, you know, you just want to leave. You just want to go on into His presence, don't you? Amen. God bless you. We'll let you be dismissed. Remember the service in the morning at 11. Let's just come look into what the Lord would have for us. I know it's going to be something good. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus together one more time as you leave tonight. Remember service in the morning at 11. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home.